Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Chelsea win at the Bernabeu, but were unable to hold off Real Madrid's comeback. Man City survive in Madrid in a nervy and very chippy match against a more attacking Atleti. Villarreal stunned by Munich and Germany to book their spot in the semi-finals, and Liverpool advanced despite Benfica playing out a six-goal thriller at Anfield. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Good stuff, mate. And before we get into the quarterfinals, just a reminder of the Premier League Predictor with NBC. That makes NBC Sports Predictor part of your match week routine. Play Premier League Pick'em for free. Your chance at $50,000 jackpot. Predict the outcomes of Premier League matches correctly, and the jackpot is yours. Score big when you download the NBC Sports Predictor app today.
Okay, my friends. So the first one we're going to start with is, and by the way, these quarterfinals didn't disappoint. Disappoint at all. And such a different watch compared to, you know, our weakest stuff, Robin, the Premier League, and different teams from different countries with different referees. Yeah. And my goodness. We had some drama and some stories. So let's get cracking. Bernabeu in Madrid. Real Madrid 2, Chelsea 3. Real Madrid, Rob, go through 5-4 on aggregate. I mean, I don't think many people expected this. I mean, they expected Real Madrid to go through, but it was a really interesting game. And I remember saying on our podcast, Rob, after the first leg of the game, that I didn't think it was all over.
I've just got as a note. Musty said it wasn't all over, which was interesting because I read a couple of things, listened to Thomas Tuchel before the game, and he was talking about, like, we need a fantastic script. This is kind of mission impossible, but we're going in there sort of with everything that we've got, and we're going to lay it out and we're going to leave it on there. And in fairness, Rob, they did that. They did that and more, got themselves in a position, despite a disallowed goal, which was a bit harsh, but I think we all understand the rules now with the handballs. But they got themselves in the 3-0 position that got them ahead in the tie with 15 minutes to go, Rob. And then part of what's great about this competition, part of what's great about Real Madrid and the history in this competition for that football club is they find a way through two bits of brilliance to get themselves back in. And all of a sudden, Chelsea, who still, and Rob, had a few chances at the end. I mean, it was incredible football and drama to watch. And it was one of those days where, on reflection, Chelsea did everything they could have done, I think, in this game. I mean, it was the 3-1 loss at Stamford Bridge that basically knocked him out of the competition.
You know what? I totally agree. And, you know, talk about Chelsea giving absolutely everything, Rob. I wrote down as my notes here, and this is Chelsea superb up to here, 15 minutes left of regular time. Obviously, then, and we should talk about that Rodrigo goal in a second. But, I mean, that was kind of Chelsea back to real. Thomas Tuchel was right. Everything Chelsea's gone off that a little bit this season in large periods of time, but they couldn't have given any more in all regards. I just want to go back to the start, Rob, in terms of the formation for Chelsea. So it's a little different. I mean, we did see Ruben Loftus-Cheek play in the last league game, I believe, playing a right wing back.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a similar thing. I mean, you can read it as different, systems in possession, out possession. I thought it was predominantly 3-4-1-2, Mount in behind the two strikers of Havertz and Timo Werner. And Loftus-Cheek was really a right wing back. Times when he come right into midfield.
And Reece came on the outside.
A little bit. But in general, and I just looked at the team sheet. I looked at the subs, Rob, and I thought, well, there's your Azpilicueta. We've seen that before. Mm. Azpilicueta and Rhys James on the right-hand side. And they've actually switched who's played wing-back, who's played right-side centre-back. I just think the reason for Rhys James being there, Vinicius Jr.
Pace,
What a quick, direct, tricky individual. Yeah. I've never seen Rhys James. I mean, and by the way, Rhys James on that right side is going to be better than Azpilicueta. He's just quicker.
For sure. Yeah.
And anybody else who could play there. So I get playing Rhys James there. And then I suppose he thinks, like, you know, Azpilicueta, right wing back. I'd prefer to have a younger,
athletic, energetic,
attacking guy in Loftus-Cheek. But Rhys James versus Vinicius Jr., I couldn't get enough of it. And I've never seen Rhys James get left behind. He was flailing a little
bit. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Vinicius Jr. is not one of those that you think, he's top level, he's a major name. What a threat he was any time he hung out on that left-hand side and just when play was building up. It was a great outlet for a midfield player. And then, as you say, I mean, I thought it was a really, as you say, it was a great contest. One of them you could spend all night watching. And I thought Rhys James at times defended him really well. And other times Vinicius showed like his pace and can go both sides, can go on the outside on his left foot and make things happen. It was interesting because the final goal that ends up winning it for Real Madrid was Vinicius against Thiago Silva and got caught out in a right-back position. It didn't quite defend him as well. And Vinicius just sets up a lovely ball. And with the rest we know with Benzema, it was history. But yeah, it was a fascinating challenge. So was it, like you say, it was an interesting setup from Thomas Tuchel. And you'd have to say, Rob, for a majority of the game, it was a formation that was working for the front three. I thought Mason Mount looked on his game, made some really good driving runs between the two. Timo Werner continued to work hard, gets an important goal. And Havertz, kind of ability to draw people out of positions and his movement, I thought was excellent. I thought there was a lot of good things about Chelsea, for the majority of the game.
Yeah, I liked it. I think Mason Mount's a brilliant player. I mean, he's just a brilliant player wherever he plays. Really like him as a number 10. And quite liked, I know Werner, and he's been on the whole a bit disappointing given what you thought you were going to get with him. But I kind of liked him as a striker that was making runs in behind with Havertz as movement as well. I thought they were very, very good. I mean, Real Madrid, switching to them for a second. I mean, I was still shocked at how passive, Rob, and how poor they were. And I know they had, of course, the lead, and you expect a certain amount of being a little bit cautious, but they weren't in the game. I mean, 3-0 down at home, like before things started to get a little bit lively in the last 15 minutes of regulation time and then after injection time after that. So I was shocked at how, poor.
It was probably the Real Madrid performance that the reason why most people said, they can't win it. It was like, well, are they that team anymore? Can they pull it out? But there's something about this club, isn't there? There's something about this competition, a little bit maybe like a Liverpool have in the past, or they've had those moments, Rob, when they've almost looked like they've been out the door again and somehow found the way. And I think we have to talk about the important goal, Rodrigo's goal. The ball from Modric, Rob, is like, it basically doesn't get any better.
Out of this world. It's out of this world,
isn't it? Better than that. I mean, his little size 5 or 6 feet, finds the outside of the ball and digs the ball. It's going away from one defender. It's dropping in front of Rodrigo. I mean, that's art right there. It's very best. And somebody said he was talking like, we talk about Iniesta and Xavi and, Zidane's in there. Modric is certainly up and around that level with that ability. I mean, it was a fantastic ball. I mean,
it's difficult. I mean, it wasn't positioned really easily to hit it with the outside of it. You had to almost dig it out between his feet to make that ball and the line of it, and then the dip at the end right into the foot of Rodrigo. Yeah. I mean, it was a ridiculous. And when you go back to a compare, I mean, God, I watched so much of Xavi for Barcelona and Iniesta. Mm. Incredible, incredible footballers. I don't know whether I can put Modric quite alongside Iniesta, but I could understand the people that might. Given what he's won, given the longevity, given the quality that he's showing now in his kind of mid-30s or whatever he is, I don't know his exact age, But that, and that, not just that ball, Rob. We're not talking just this game. I mean, the previous game, some of the through balls he made for Real Madrid before is absolutely fantastic. So, you know, and I think I'm right in saying that he did, he got in between Messi and Ronaldo for a Ballon d'Or, didn't he? I think it was the
2008
yeah. Jump in there in 2018. So you got to be a pretty special player to get in between those two. So no, special mention for that goal, for that pass, because up to that point, it looked like they were going out.
Yeah,
really did. And that, of course, that sent the game then to extra time. Just before extra time, though, Rob, I mean, Christian Pulisic.
Yeah. He has two good chances, doesn't he?
He has really good chances.
Yeah. Which, you know, on another day, another night, he finishes one of them. He's come on. He's had an influence from the bench. He's, you know, he's starting to have a big influence on the team. And he has a couple of good looks. Which, you know, on another day, you think if one of them goes, we're talking very different. But we end up going to extra time, and then we think, okay, let's have another look at it. I just thought, well, Rob, I wanted to mention one player again who is, I didn't sort of know that much about. Camavinga, as it came on, Edward Camavinga came on as sub for Toni Kroos. Some player, by the way, this kid. I thought, despite Modric, you know, getting our headlines with the pass, which was fantastic, and obviously we talk about Benzema getting a winner. I thought he came on, Camavinga, and bought a energy, a drive. He's a little bit, he's a little bit Edgar Davids in that kind of aggressive running style, left footed.
He can do a bit of everything, can't he?
Yeah, and he's 19 years of age, French international. He's going to be some player. And I thought he brought a bit of energy to the Madrid midfield when it was a day when they weren't really looking to pass away through as they had done at Stamford Bridge. And I thought he was an important player for Real Madrid. He just came on and brought something different to the middle of the park and started to get him in the game and started to make things happen. And then we get the moment when Vinicius clips a lovely ball back towards Benzema. It was unfortunate that Rudiger seemed to lose his feet. Again, brilliant movement by Benzema. Goes in, comes out, waits for the ball, and then goes and attacks it. And the moment it was on his head, you're thinking goal, because you just realise this guy doesn't miss those kind of opportunities.
I just think it was a different Real Madrid, Rob, wasn't it? You know, from 80 minutes onwards, where they get back in the game, it goes.
Yeah,
that was kind of the Real Madrid we all expected a little bit. Maybe not quite like that because they got the lead. Did Chelsea, Rob, did they just tire a little bit in the end?
They could have run out of legs a little bit. I mean, they put so much in, Rob, and they worked so hard, and they created so many opportunities, to be honest. I think on the night, I made a note, the stats, 21 shots, 7 on target to Madrid, 6 shots, 4 on target. And I think it was 10 corner kicks to Chelsea, 1 to Real Madrid. So
they were on it, weren't they?
They were pushing it. And in all that's happening in the Premier League, in games and the kind of fixture list at the moment, you can understand a little bit why maybe there was a few tired legs. But they still had chances, Rob, again. Havertz has a great header from across from Reece James.
Can't get on target.
Jorginho takes a touch and pulls one with his left foot late on it. On another day, with his ability, he might just have found the back of the net.
Yeah, it was a brilliant performance from Chelsea. It really, really was. He couldn't have done a lot more. I thought it's another example. I know that Antonio Rudiger, I think Real Madrid are one of the teams that I thought I thought he played outstanding. I mean, he's some player, Rob. Quick. He likes a shot now. He had another dipping shot that wasn't too far away. I mean, he's a man amongst men, isn't he, as a defender? I just thought he was fantastic. The midfield two, Kovacic and Kante. I mean, there was not much not to like about Chelsea. I felt for them a little bit at the end because they put so much into it in a situation where nobody thought they would go through. Just another example, Rob, of Thomas Tuchel that hasn't been quite as we expected this season, to be fair.
No.
You know, last season I thought with Lukaku coming in and we can talk
Lukaku a little bit, Rob? I just thought it was again a night. So I'm looking at the result. You're thinking that last 15 minutes. Now, again, he's injured at the moment. I think he's got some kind of cough or something.
Yeah, Achilles or something.
Achilles. Yeah. But when you talk about this Chelsea team that won the Champions League without Lukaku and you get him in and you pay $125 million or something, 90 odd million pounds, he comes in. He scores goals initially, has a little bit, I think, of a knock or two. We have the interview that seemed to have blown everything up. Things haven't been quite right since then. He was bought for nights like last night, wasn't he? He was bought for the last 15 minutes of nights like last night. He was bought to do what Benzema did for Real Madrid to do to Chelsea, because Chelsea won the Champions League already before he came. So he was bought to get them closer to the Premier League title and further and stronger in the Champions League. There's a big void being left by him not being fit and available, Rob, right now. There's a void at that football club. There's a centre-forward missing. That we're saying Werner's doing well. Werner's trying his best and, you know, he's coming hopefully into a bit of form. Havertz is improving as a centre-forward. But really, you've got a top-class centre-forward who should be getting you 25 to 30 goals in these competitions, and it's not. Now, I'm not sure where Chelsea are going to go from here, Rob, with Lukaku. Is he going to be rehabilitated and brought back into the fold? Is he good enough? Is he ready? Does he want to be that player? Or I've heard this week, like, PSG got mentioned, and one or two people like, wonder if is it going to be a time where he's going to be moved on?
I think it's best for all if he moves on. Thomas Tuchel ain't going anywhere. The new owner, and you read all about the new owners, who potentially they could be, pretty much all of them are saying a key factor is keeping Thomas Tuchel. Done a brilliant job. Now, you know, whether there's a fallout personally, I don't know. But there seems to be, between his disappointment in general with his performances, between the interview, between the sense that Lukaku's unhappy with the way it goes at Chelsea and the way they're playing, if PSG are going to come and pay, what might they pay, Rob? 60, 70 60, million
70 pounds, maybe. Yeah, like so maybe $90 million.
I would think it's best to cash in and look at something else. On the same topic, Rob, and I couldn't agree more, Timo Werner has been disappointing a little bit. Now, he's like you said, he was bright in this game, and there's moments where he looks really good and scores goals, hits the post the other day, the midweek, the Premier League week. But it's been disappointing. Kai Havertz, like him, started to show a little bit now. But again, he's still not like a finished end product. Lukaku was meant to be that person. Now, three strikers that, for whatever reason, are not quite ready to go and do the business at the top end, at the real business end, like Benzema does and others have done that. So that's probably what's hurt them this season in the Premier League. It's what's hurt them in this competition as well, though, because other parts of the team's pretty blimmin' good, Rob. From goalkeeper through back defenders, through wing-backs, with some injuries, of course, midfield players, good options. It's just that one striker's is not clicked into place. You expect one of those three to be the guy, to get 20 Premier League goals and other competitions goals, important goals in the big competitions. That's not really happened. So whether a new ownership will sanction the sale of Lukaku and add money to bring in a different striker, I think that'll be the best scenario. But again, Man City, Man United, who doesn't? Arsenal, who doesn't want a new centre forward? So as ever, it's going to be very, very difficult. But yeah, that's a position that's ultimately cost them a little bit this season.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Okay, my friend, let's move it on to Atletico Madrid v Manchester City. I think this was a game that many of us were anticipating, not least the contrasting styles, contrasting managers, going to Atleti, one of the most difficult places to go in Europe. I actually watched more of the Liverpool game. I know you kept your eye on this one. So enlighten me with all that went on with Mr. Simeone et al.
Oh, crikey. Rob, first off, because the game's gone at the same time, we have to split, yeah, really, what we keep our eye on to do the podcast right after the Champions League games, which is what we want to do.
Yeah.
Rob, I mean, I don't know where to start. I mean, we knew, and there's some good parts of this, by the way. Obviously, 0-0.
Yeah.
I mean, Man City at the end, Rob, are hanging on by a thread, really, in all aspects of emotions, of physicality, the chances that Atletico forced in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game. It was a very different game from the first leg, Rob, where, you know, we talked about the 5-5-0. Parked a massive bus. And really, like, that's the way we're going to do this. We're going to park a massive bus to try and keep it damage limitation. It was 1-0. Okay. Yeah. And then we're going to go crazy at their new stadium with a fan base that's crazy revved up. The manager said it's us against the world, and everybody complains about 5-5-0, the system that they played, and everybody hates the way we play. Siege mentality. And Man City got full thrust, like, crazy aggressive Atletico Madrid. Crazy aggressive Atletico Madrid. There was a challenge with Felipe, the central defender, one of the three of them, that went, he smashed into the back of Phil Foden. Phil Foden's got a head injury. And to, I think most people was like, wow, that's not a yellow card. From that moment, I didn't write the minute down, but it was pretty early in the game. I'm thinking, oh, this could get ugly. If this is a German referee, if this referee thinks that that's just a foul when there's tons of aggression in it, Rob, and follow through, and one of the head boards, he's never going to head it, hammers through the back of the goal. I'm like, it's going to be one of those games. And it was. It absolutely was, Rob. And I got to say, first off, I'm going to quickly say, I got to love the spirit of the team, Real Madrid, and the stadium. And it's probably driven by the manager. I love, you know, I was like, as a player, Robert, I was more of a worker and a fighter, and I try and get into opponents and stuff like that. It was all of that and more.
But I think on that point, Rob, just to make sure I'm understanding you and our viewers, you're saying the spirit and the drive, but not going over the top, but being within the right emotional control of everybody sort of focused and doing what they need to do.
Yeah, I like that. But they crossed the line, Rob. They crossed the line. And the referee, in my opinion, and there's others out there that will feel there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you got to play at your strengths, and that's being aggressive and physical against City, and I get that. And they were as physical I've ever seen a team against, well, I won't say a Pep team, because Jose Mourinho got Real Madrid fired up that season when they won the league. But for certainly this season and for many seasons, a Pep Man City, Rob, got, I mean, every single challenge was a little bit left on it. Yeah. Nake, I remember at the end, got pushed towards his goalkeeper to jump over him. Phil Foden, with nobody around him. Stefan Savage, by the way, absolute crazy man. Like, we know he's at Man City. Yeah, we know it didn't work out. He wasn't wanted there. I mean, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He barged into Phil Foden many times. Kevin De Bruyne went off with an injury. Kyle Walker cleared a ball. And the player, was it Llorente? Another super aggressive player. I'm not sure it was him. Kind of followed through a little bit. I mean, to be fair, that didn't look that nasty. But I don't know what happened to Kyle Walker. But he looked like he was really struggling, Rob. That's a concern. So those two players initially.
Yeah, I saw that.
There was
another
challenge on Phil Foden towards the end, Rob, where he's going down the line, and it was Felipe who comes across, makes a really good tackle, and then tries to volley him on his way down from the air and gets a second yellow after almost a fight. Savage came across and pulled by the back of his shirt Foden to try and pull him off the field. You had the subs getting involved, a big melee then, where Savage then grabs the hair of
Grealish, wasn't it?
Grealish. I mean, it was too far, Rob. It was over the top. And I blame the referee for not being a little stronger earlier in the game when, like, he had the chance to control it. So when, you know, Simeone is the same guy on the sideline, running up and down, the fans.
He's revving the fans up and he's giving it all that.
And I want to stress, I love that. I think it's a bit of a clown show, to be honest, Simeone, but it's his way.
Yeah.
And he gets
the
fans involved and they were chomping at the bit and the players were revved up, but it just went over the top where I think there's two players injured for City, potentially more. Phil Foden, I guess, is okay. He finished the game, but the uber aggressive, and I've just never seen. I haven't seen a game like that in this competition, because this competition, Rob, is often
normally
very soft and very gentle, and less so than you see in the Premier League as a comparison. Mm. This was way more than you'd see in the Premier League. It just was.
Apparently, there's video out as well, Robert. The two players at the tunnel at the end of the game, I think, yelling at each other. There's a little bit of pushing and shove. Apparently, the police had to come in, make sure both sets of players were going in the right direction. I saw Pep after the game, actually, and I haven't seen it. I haven't had a chance to see what he said. Yeah, he was very proud of his group in terms of what they stood up for, the spirit, the control they had on the game. He said he didn't want to talk about Atleti at all and the way they play and the way they do things. He said, I'm going to leave that for others to do. But this was an important day for Man City. I think it's sort of like, you know, third semi-final for him in the Champions League now. You know, it's a big step for this football club. And they've come to a difficult place and got the job done. He said the consequences of the win is the worry, the injuries and the other things that could come out of it. He, obviously, we'll have to wait and see how things over the next couple of days. Obviously, got a big FA Cup semi-final against Liverpool on Saturday to come. So, yeah, difficult time.
Remember me saying, Rob, after the first leg, I've lost my train of thought now. It was, I remember saying that, in my opinion, there's two teams that can beat Man City.
Yeah.
One was Atletico Madrid, the other one's Liverpool, which we might see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, they gave it such a fierce go, Rob. It was incredible. And I got to say this as well, by the way, this isn't all, and I don't want people to, you know, I'm sure there's people out there that think, you know, Man City players jump all over the place. There was extreme physicality, Rob. But what I liked about this, at the end of the game, the fans in that stadium, that you'd thought they'd just won the competition, Rob. So the game had finished. I think the City players had gone in. And there's really good shots of the Atleti players just standing and watching an amazing atmosphere in that stadium of appreciation, of clapping, of singing, of jumping around. The whole stadium was in appreciation of this team, and it was kind of a really powerful image of some of these players not looking sad, not clapping the fans for the, just stood. It's like they couldn't have given any more. For me, they crossed the line. The referee lost control of it. Yeah. But there's something about the spirit, the fact that, you know, they'll get away with what they can get away with, and they'll try and do it their way. There's a sense that in football that Man City are the, you know, the posh kind of, you know, the past master
and all aristocrats.
That. There's other teams that try and do it their way, and this was a great example of that, and a brilliant match where I got to be honest, I'm at home. Or I'm downstairs and I'm like, guy, you can't get. And so when Fernandinho comes on, Rob, I'm like, Fernandinho, they needed Fernandinho, Rob, to have just some muscle. The aggressive tactics were, I don't know, it was a fun watch in so, it is such a different way. And I got to say, before I shut up about this game, they had chances at the end. I mean, they fought. I've never seen, I mean, City were.
Edison made a great save, didn't he? I saw Edison make a great save.
It could have gone to extra time. Could have gone to extra time. And then who knows, by the way? Because that is a fierce environment. And Pep, like you said, Pep, should be proud. If getting the players through that, if they can get through that, by the way, wow, that's a good sign for the future.
I think the shame for Simeone and that group of players, and sometimes the club, is that it gets a bad rap because it does go over the top, because he's a little bit more than
it's extreme tactics.
And you know, there's something about spirit, there's something about when you're not maybe as technically good as the opposition, then you have to make up for it in other ways. But once you start going over the lines and it becomes too aggressive and too physical, then I think you lose a lot of goodwill. And I think sometimes that's the state for Simeone, because it's all governed by how much he's going to allow and it's obvious at times that they go a little bit over the mark. But great win for City into the semi-final. Just a quick kind of thought to Real Madrid, Manchester City. I mean, Real Madrid ain't going to come with those same tactics. That's going to be a pure football game, isn't it? And what we know with Madrid already, Rob, is they can have moments, can't they? They're a moments team.
Yeah, they are. I think they'll be I think they'll be forced in some ways to be passive in terms of possession. I think City, it's going to be such a different sort of game than the two legs in the quarterfinals of Man City against Atleti. So it's going to be very, very different. I've got to say, I think in some ways, could be totally wrong, it could be easier. I think it could be easier than that game. Given the matchup, given the problems that we knew what was going to happen, and it absolutely did happen over the two legs. I mean, 1-0, Rob. Just one goal separating the two teams. I just think that the Real Madrid, superb. Benzema, can he keep doing it? Maybe he can. And with the experience that they've got, the know-how in this competition, of course, you know, it's not going to be easy for Man City. But I just think it will be, I fancy City to go through. And I don't think it'll be as tight as it was against Atleti. But again, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. A bit of time between now and those injuries and all those things. We don't quite know who'll be fit for both teams. But yeah, another classic game, that one, I think, coming up in the semi-final.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Just before we go to Liverpool, mate, let's have a quick word for Unai Emery, our great friend from the former Arsenal manager Villarreal, who pulled off one of the performances of the Champions League's quarterfinals to get a 1-1 draw in Munich, having won 1-0 in Villarreal to take them through on a 2-1 aggregate. I think you talked about it before on the podcast, and I looked through the Valencia team, and it is an oddball of mix of players who've not been seen to be good enough in the Premier League. You've got a manager who's not seen to have been good enough, certainly for a club of Arsenal standing, who works his magic, Rob. Does his thing. Yeah. However, he gets to his players. He has them well organised, well set up. I've seen him train once. He was over here with the Arsenal team and they went to the LA Galaxy, and I went and watched training. And he's as involved in training as any player. He's talking to people, he's backing into defenders. He's all in. He's a real football man, and you get that sense about him. And his team have done him proud against a Bayern Munich team, who some may have said would be, you know, maybe quiet favourites. The team, if an English team wasn't going to win it, maybe Munich were the side. He's put them out and give Villarreal a chance to face somebody in the semi-finals.
You can't keep a good man down, Rob, can you? I mean, it's obvious now that he's a good manager. And when you look back, and hindsight's such a valuable thing, isn't it? When you look back at that Arsenal team, Rob, it's been absolutely carved apart by Mikel Arteta. It's absolutely like he went in there and like some of these players are not good enough.
Yeah.
They're not the right type. And to be fair to Unai Emery, he had to try and work with those players. And then it obviously became apparent that it needed a total rebuild, which Arteta's kind of well on the way to doing. So when you look back and he got a bit of ridicule. I remember there were games, and I remember talking about him saying, wow, what is going on here? There's so many spaces everywhere, and it got caught on a counter-attack. So it was a bit of a mess. It didn't go well for him. But, you know, he did have to work with players that have since left, and it couldn't have been very
easy. It was much about attitude, wasn't it, and ability, when you think of Mesut Ozil, and obviously we've seen Aubameyang, that's gone on Kolasinac, and one or two we believe were
a bit of unrest
in the dressing room. So, well, fair play to him. As you say, can't keep a good man down. Unai Emery takes Villarreal into the semi-finals.
Amazing.
And it was all about who they were going to face, my friend. Liverpool was 3-1 up from the first leg in Benfica, away from home. Ended up with 3-3 draw this game, Rob, which was a little surprising, I have to say. Liverpool got themselves up to 3-1 at one point in the game and then kind of got a little sloppy. Someone may point to... So just you know, going back to the start of the game, Liverpool made 7 changes from the team that played at Manchester City at the weekend. So the only players that played were Alisson, Matip, Henderson and Jota were the only 4 that played. So Gomez came in at right back, Konate and Tsimikas made up the back 4. Keita and Milner joined Henderson in midfield, in Diaz, Firmino and Jota with the front three. So you, obviously the depth of quality now at Liverpool we're starting to see. It was probably, I wouldn't quite say it's a B team, but maybe it's an A minus team. It's not all the big hitters like Mane and Salah starting on the bench. So it was a good chance to look at them. And I mean, got 1-0 up. Kanate, another header, similar to the one he scored in the first game this time, just muscled his way through, gets them 1-0 up. I think it's they conceded a goal about half an hour into the game, 1-1. Not a great goal to concede. I think came off Milner, was a bit of an offside. Is he not offside? It looked like it came off Milner last. Anyway, he just onside, scored to make it 1-1. And then into the second half, Liverpool, at one point I was thinking, are they just trying to play the game out? I weren't quite sure, like, were they really going for it or not? But then they started to play, got themselves up 2-1. Bobby Firmino with a lovely finish after some errors from the Benfica defence. And then he gets himself a second from a lovely free kick from Tsimikas. Technique, volley, punches it in. To put some 2-1 up. And at this point, you're thinking the game's safe. They start playing a little bit of football in midfield, but got a bit sloppy with it, you know, where it was... Yeah. I think Jurgen Klopp will be a little disappointed that they didn't then control the game with possession. Started to get a little bit sloppy. It's a Benfica team that were well set up, 4-2-3-1. Good with the ball, nice structure and distances without the ball. And it wasn't easy. It was never kind of an easy game for Liverpool. And they conceded one at 3-2. Juranček, I think, is got 3-2. And then this young player, Darwin Núñez, I don't know, he's a 22-year-old Uruguayan who they're all talking about. I think he's like 29, 30 goals now this season, 22 years of age. He's a player, Rob. He had probably, I think, two or could possibly have three goals disallowed on the night. Scored a lovely goal and is a bit of a player. Almost, strange enough, you can see playing for Liverpool, he can play anywhere across the front line. Lovely drift and movement. And I suppose for me, the biggest worry, I would say, or the biggest concern maybe for Jurgen Klopp is conceding three goals at home is not particularly great luck. And that high line again, Rob, I thought was a problem.
So that was still evident, even with all the changes.
But yeah, you're now talking Gomez, Matip, Kanute and Tsimikas, who, you know, there was no pressure on the ball at times. They're holding that high line. They're getting runners coming from deep. And they'd obviously worked on number of runners coming from behind midfield. Keita got caught out a couple of times, not following his man. And it was causing Liverpool real problems. Now, I remember we had Jurgen Klopp at the desk, didn't we? And he talked about the profile of his football club and they weren't going to go too far away from that. And they want to press to make the pitch compact. But there is times where it doesn't often look vulnerable. It doesn't often look if you time runs like Benfica did today and get deep runners coming from midfield and causing problems. Man City did. Now, I know they believe in Matip and Van Dijk often going 2-for-2 when the fullbacks are in, and I know they believe in their press and their ability to disrupt the opposition, but it is something that, I don't know, just as we get into the business end of the season, it just feels a little bit like it's a little bit of an Achilles heel they might have to address as they go. Obviously, the quadruple's still there, and I know they're not talking about it, but the media will continue to do so. Lots of games coming up, lots of competitions. It's just something I think we'll keep an eye on, and whether they'll continue to do it, or maybe there's a little bit of drop-off. I'm not saying to drop deep and sit on the 18-yard box, but maybe when somebody picks his head up, Rob, can we drop 4 or 5 yards, just give ourselves a little bit of space and not have that distance for attackers to run into?
Yeah, it's not... The high line is a great thing to have, right? And strikers can't go in behind you because they'll be offside. Yeah. But they make runs. And I think, you know, obviously it's a balance there, right? Because I've played in back fours not many times, but a few times. And if a player makes an early run in behind, you're offside. So the main thing is offside, trying to keep players offside. But of course, you know, better teams, sometimes you do have to drop off when the ball's about to be played and the guy's making a run, you've got to drop off with him. That doesn't seem to happen very much. They hope for an offside. They hope that the timing of the run is just off. And then, of course, when it's not, when the timing's very good, they get in behind. So it's a calculated thing, Rob, because obviously, you know, having a high line helps you press, helps you stay compact. It helps you with territory and being advanced forward. So there's two sides to it, and we have to wait and see whether at the business end of the, all the competitions that are still in, whether that ends up hurting them or whether it's absolutely fine and they still win games and they might concede some goals, but it's worth having that high line and the little bit of vulnerability. Well, quite a bit of vulnerability that it gives them.
Yeah.
You know, on balance of things at the end of it all.
It's a bit of risk-reward for them. It was interesting. So the subs did come. Thiago came on for Milner. Fabinho came on for Henderson. Salah came on for Jota. Mane came on for Diaz in the end. So he did make some rotations. And it was interesting, actually, just before the final whistle, Mo Salah got a ball on the right-hand side, dinked inside, as you'd expect, that left foot bending. And he hit one, Rob, which just so like, inches over the ball. And you kind of looked at his face and you almost felt like he could have done with that. Just get the sense he needs a goal now, just as we get to this run in and obviously, you know, getting to the business end of all the competitions. You just want Mo Salah in his best goal-scoring form to make Liverpool, you know, a real threat. But, yeah, they got the job done. Be interesting to see how Jurgen Klopp mixes the pot up with the FA Cup coming up on Saturday. It's an early kick-off, and I know he's had words that he's not too happy about some of the scheduling he's saying of games, and especially when you have a big game on Wednesday that you have an early kick-off on Saturday. But fortunately, that's the way it is. His squad's a little bit bigger, and so we'll see if he reverts back to, you know, some of those big boys who got a rest today or who only had sort of a few minutes towards the end of the match before they play City, who themselves have got a few injury problems. So, interesting one to look forward to. So, Liverpool get a chance to play Villarreal in their semi-final. You have to see Liverpool. I know Unai's done some brilliant things, but to get past Liverpool in the semi-finals would be as big as it goes for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, two semi-finals with those two teams from England, Man City, Liverpool, that we talked at the Etihad, Rob, the weekend. We sort of said, like, are these the best two teams, you know, around right now anywhere? And you're like, could absolutely be right that. So you'd expect them to get through against Villarreal, but I'm sure Liverpool won't underestimate Unai Emery. He knows Liverpool. He's got some players, as you said, that could hurt them on the counter-attack. We know the high line can, you know, make him a little vulnerable. But that being said, a semi-final of the Champions League, again for Liverpool, you would think they'd be on it. And I know they've got tons of other games and stuff, but I mean, this is big time stuff now. This is history. You know, winning these trophies, Rob, you're in the trophy cabinet and it's history. Yeah. And how many times have we won it compared to others, Man United or whatever? You know, so you'd think Villarreal. I mean, the last time I looked, they were seventh in La Liga. Yeah. And you know, you'd think that for me, Man City will get through and Liverpool will get through. And maybe it's not what people want to see in the Champions League. And it's always fun to see teams against other countries.
Yeah,
teams.
Other countries,
I think given all that we've seen, that would make most sense. Can you think anything else would happen?
I can't, to be honest. And again, we talked about it. The third time in 4 years we've got an All-English final, which shows the strength of the Premier League. Strength of coaching, I think, that the people who are running the teams in the Premier League now, and you know, you have to go back to the Manchester United eras, maybe Chelsea's eras when we had this kind of dominance. So, great for English football, but I'm sure both managers are trying. Still
not done yet. It's not done yet. No, absolutely not.
You know, two tough games in semi-finals, and as we've seen, you know, Villarreal will be tactically well set up. It won't be an easy day for Liverpool. And Real Madrid, we know, listen, they've got the little magician in midfield and they've got the fella up front who can't stop scoring. So I'm sure Carlo Ancelotti will have a little plan for that for Manchester City. They may have the ball, but maybe can counter and hit them with pace. So lots to look forward to, my friend. But we'll wrap up this midweek podcast where Liverpool and City get the job done, move to the semi-finals. Chelsea, they gave it all. But the magic of Modric and the brilliance of Benzema proved too much. We'll be back on Sunday, that's April the 17th. We'll review some important Premier League games and the FA Cup semi-finals where Chelsea face Palace and Manchester City and Liverpool away go at it again. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.